While you are still standing, if you want to find your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 23, I will read it for us in just a moment, give you a moment to find it. Psalm 23. I'll read the entire psalm. We're going to look at the first four verses this morning. Hear then God's holy word from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated. Let me pray for us as we begin. Oh God, as I open up your word from your scriptures, I pray that you would graciously teach us from your law. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Perhaps many of you have this psalm memorized. Perhaps many have heard it read at a funeral or another key event. This is a precious psalm. Some have called it the most recognizable portion of Scripture in all of the Bible. But this metaphor of shepherd, let me open that up for us. There's a little book that I found in the church library that I was aware of called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Perhaps some of you have read this. A man who has some experience shepherding in East Africa has this to say about perhaps why the metaphor is that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. The strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. And he tells of a time when, I'll read it for you. It's not generally known that sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind a bush can stampede a whole flock. When one startled sheep runs in fright, a dozen others will bolt with it in blind fear, not waiting to see what frightened them. One day, a friend came to call on us from the city. She had a tiny Pekingese pup along. As he opened the car door, the pup jumped out on the grass. Just one glimpse of the unexpected little dog was enough. In sheer terror, over 200 of my sheep, which were resting nearby, leapt up and rushed off across the pasture. As long as there even the slightest suspicion of danger from dogs, coyotes, cougars, etc., sheep will never lie down. They have little or no means of self-defense. They are helpless, timid, feeble creatures whose only recourse is to run. And he goes on to say that as a shepherd, he learned to keep a gun next to his bed. He learned to be ready in the middle of the night to protect his sheep. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease, as nothing else could do, and this applied both day and night. The Lord is our shepherd. There's no one else who would come into view and who would come into our presence that could put us at ease in the same way. As we look at this psalm, I want us to think about those opening lines. Some have called Psalm 23, it could be like a creed that the church takes up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, he provides everything I need. I won't be lacking in anything that he desires for me to have. And so we take this psalm beautifully, personally, and say, the Lord is my shepherd. This morning, I want to focus on what it would look like to take it corporately, to say the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus Christ is the one who shepherds his church. And what does that look like? Let's look at these 3 points found in your bulletin, if that's helpful for you to follow along. The title is The Lord is Our Shepherd. We're going to be looking at those first 3 verses, which focus on this shepherd metaphor. In a few weeks to come, we'll look at verse 5 and 6, where the metaphor shifts. But in these first verses, the Lord is our shepherd. And number one, what does the shepherd do? The shepherd provides for his sheep. The shepherd provides for his sheep. This is made known right in the opening lines. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I shall not need food and not have it, or need strength and not have it. One translator translates this, I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And the metaphors abound here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. If you think of shepherds at the time, and even today, sheep thrive in more arid, dry climates. But like any creature, they need food, they need water. And so shepherds would work hard to cultivate these green pastures, or they would lead the sheep to just the right spot to get what they need. Philip Keller, in that quote we were just reading, talks about this idea that it's not as easy as you think to get a sheep to sit down, even if they're in green pastures. He talks about their need of food can keep them on their feet. Their fear of little puppies, as we read, can keep them on their feet. Their social activity together, they sort of literally butt heads with one another, can keep them on their feet. And yet a shepherd knows how to care for each and every one of these needs so that the sheep would lie down in peace. And that's drawn out where it says, he leads me beside still waters. This could be translated waters of peace, of a resting place. And we start to see why this metaphor is so key. What was David? David writes the psalm, and David was king of Israel. But what was David before he was king of Israel? But a shepherd. And this metaphor abounds in Scripture, but Samuel comes to Jesse, David's father, and you know the story is he's looking for the next king of Israel, and so he starts with the oldest son and goes all the way down. And finally he says, are all of your sons here? And Samuel says, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And yet David would go on to be called the shepherd of Israel. The kings of Israel were called shepherds of Israel. Psalm 78 says, he chose David his servant. He took him from the sheepfolds and following the nursing ewes and brought them to shepherd his people. With an upright heart, he shepherded them. He guided them with a skillful hand. And David was called the shepherd, but God was shepherd of Israel long before David was put in place. And as we think of these green pastures and these still waters, these paths of righteousness, we think of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Psalm 77 says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Psalm 78 says, then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that they were not afraid. Or Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock. Or Deuteronomy 2:7, where God says, I've blessed you, I've been with you in all of your wilderness wanderings. You were never in want. I provided for you all along the way. Now, this is what God does for his people. He shepherds his people. He brings them food, manna from his word, giving them all that they need. He showers them with the waters of his grace. He gives them rest and peace in the midst of a fearful world. And then it says, he restores my soul. And you could probably tell that each one of these verses we could linger on, but he restores my soul. Philip Keller helps us with this as well. He talks about this idea of a of a cast sheep. He has Psalm 42 in mind. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And perhaps if you have any experience working with sheep, you would know this. But in a cast sheep or a cast down sheep is a sheep that has found its way onto its back and its feet in the air. And you might think that's not a big deal. You know, when I fall on my back, I can get up easily. Or maybe you say, no, actually, even for me, that's kind of hard. But Philip Keller helps us understand what's going on here. He says a cast sheep is a very pathetic and worrying sight. If the owner does not arrive on the scene within a reasonably short time, the sheep will die. There's gases that build up in the abdomen. And so the shepherd often counts his sheep. He makes sure that they're all there. And if they're not all there, his first thought is, one of my sheep is cast somewhere. I must go and search and set him on his feet again. Nothing seems to so arouse the constant care of the shepherd as a cast sheep. But how does it happen? The way it happens is this. A heavy, fat, or long fleece sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in his body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet are no longer on the ground but in the air. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse and it rolls even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. And so he talks about it lying there and struggling. And what he says is, again and again, I would spend hours searching for a single sheep that was missing. He describes this joy and fear mixed together as he found the sheep. And listen to this tender care of the shepherd. As soon as I reached the cast sheep, my very first impulse was to pick it up. Tenderly, I would roll the sheep over on its side. This would relieve the pressure on his abdomen. If she had been down for long, I would lift her onto her feet. And then straddling the sheep with my legs, I would hold her up, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation to her legs. This often took quite a little time. When the sheep started to walk again, she often just stumbled, staggering, and collapsed on a heap once more. All the time I worked on the cast sheep, I would talk to it gently. Why are you going? When are you going to learn to stand on your own feet? Or, I'm so glad I found you in time, you little rascal. And so the conversation would go, always couched in language that combined tenderness and rebuke, compassion and correction. Right, it's only fitting that Jesus talks about leaving the 99 and going to find that one sheep that had wandered off. And so as we think of Christ then being the great shepherd of the sheep, remember what Jesus called himself in one of the great I am statements in the book of John, John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep know his voice. He knows his own, and his own know him, and he will go and find those that are cast down. He will restore their soul. And so as we begin this adventure of ministry together as a church, what would it look like to have this as our philosophy of ministry? The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is our shepherd. He will give even this church exactly what she needs in just the due season that she needs it. In times of plenty, he will give us contentment. In times of want, he will give us strength to persevere. In times of trial, he will give us his grace in abundance. And he will week in and week out give us his daily bread. And so the shepherd provides for his sheep. Number two, the shepherd protects his sheep, or the shepherd protects his church. And we're just going to combine two and three. These are very linked ideas. So however you want to do your notes, sorry if that bugs your sense of how you want to take the notes, but the shepherd protects and leads his church. And the reason we combine it is if you look in verse 4, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, the rod being the protection that the shepherd would drive off the coyotes, that it would drive off the wolves, and the staff then being the guidance, the protection, that he will lead me and guide me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake through the valley of the shadow of death. We've already seen that sheep need a shepherd. A sheep cannot be fed without a shepherd feeding them. Sheep cannot find their way to water without being led to the streams. A sheep need protected from themselves when they fall on their back. A sheep need guidance. Sheep need protection. If you're not yet convinced, or if you think that the sheep metaphor is so that we think that we're sort of like cuddly, and if you've ever cuddled a sheep, they're also smelly. But that's not the point in Psalm 23. But here's a real news report from many years ago. Turkish shepherds watched in horror as hundreds of their sheep followed each other over a cliff. So sheep do this. If one sheep goes, they follow. First, one sheep went over the cliff edge, only to be followed by the whole flock, according to the reports. Sadly, more than 400 sheep perished in the 15-meter fall, but the silver lining, their bodies cushioned the fall of 1,100 other sheep that actually survived. So that was a wonderful moment for the rest of the sheep. But this is the metaphor given to us in Scripture. We're like that. We will see someone wander, and we will follow after them. Or in the book, he gives another metaphor as he was leading his sheep to this clear and flowing stream, and there was this one stubborn sheep that loved to just go to this mud pile over here, and then pretty soon the whole flock is just lapping up mud instead of coming to the water. Sheep need a shepherd, and people of God, we need a shepherd. We may think that we can feed ourselves, that we can protect ourselves, that we can prepare enough on our own, that we could be smart enough, but we need a shepherd. We need one who will lead us on straight paths. Verse 3, we need one who will lead us in the darkest valleys, where it says, through the valley of the shadow of death. This could be translated the valley of deep darkness. I know many in our church, even over this last year, can maybe resonate with verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of deep darkness. You might know more intimately what that is in your life. And what does he say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And what's his reason that he gives? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And friends, this is actually the heart of the psalm, positioned right in the middle of this whole psalm. Robert Godfrey, in his wonderful book, which is on the book table, points this out. Even if you count the words, this is the very center of the psalm, and often the psalmist is trying to point you toward the center. We've already said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we say, I shall fear no evil, but what's the reason? For you are with me. For you are with me. This is the great promise of Jesus being our good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd called us by name and led us into his flock. He gives us everything we need, not because he's sort of duty-bound to provide for the church, but because he loves his church. Ephesians 5 says he loves her and gave himself for her, right? Because Jesus is not only the shepherd, but he is the lamb who was slain. Who, when he laid down his life for the sheep, we see in Matthew, he comes upon the crowds and he's tired from his ministry, but he looks at the crowds and it says he has compassion on them because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The people in exile in the Old Testament would call out and say, "Oh, shepherd of Israel, will you forget us forever?" And God sent his good shepherd in Jesus Christ. And so I do have to pause here and ask you, a friend, if you're not a Christian, Is Jesus your shepherd? We've been focusing on the hour. You know, he is our shepherd, but is he your shepherd? Can you read Psalm 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Not the Lord is my parents' shepherd. And I learned a lot from them, and I grew up in church, and I kind of know the lingo. But can you read Psalm 23 honestly and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I'm content in him. If Jesus is there, I'm content. If wealth abounds, if comfort abounds, and Jesus is not there, I'm restless. I would rather suffer for his name's sake with his promised presence in my life than abound. Does that reflect the cry of your heart? When you hear of a Jesus who loves his people and gave himself for them, do you include yourself in that number? That when he went to the cross, he went not just for the sins corporately of his people, but for your sins that deserved death, the death that he bore on the cross. I would urge you, if you walked in this morning and Jesus wasn't your shepherd, or you were unsure, then remember that Jesus calls his own sheep by name. And he calls them most readily in the preaching of his word. And so he might be calling you by his spirit this morning, by name, the name that he's given you. He knew you before the creation of the world. If you are in Christ, that means he died for you. Would you embrace him and then be able to join with all of us as we read Psalm 23 together, as we say that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. One more story as we close. This was written some years ago, but during the recent uprisings in the Middle East, Ron and Jake Jones, who serve with the Christian Missionary Alliance in Israel, communicated the following. The result of the fighting and killing has left a profound sense of discouragement that hovers over the country. Several times we have come into closer contact with this conflict than our comfort zone allowed. Yesterday, a friend shared with us something that she observed that was a delightful reminder of God's care for us. She watched a shepherd caring for his flock near the area where guns were fired. Every time the shots rang out, the sheep scattered in fright. The shepherd then touched each of them with his staff and spoke calmly to them, and the sheep settled down immediately because they trusted the shepherd. And then another shot sounded, and the same routine happened again. Each time the sheep needed the shepherd to orient them again and to reassure them that they were safe. People of God, if Christ is your shepherd, then his rod and his staff are a comfort to you. His presence in your life is your greatest comfort in life and in death. No matter what happens in this world, even in this next year, in the next 10 years, if you hold on to the promise that he is with you, then what can man do to you? He is our comfort and our strength. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not fear. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for sending to us your one and only beloved Son to be the great shepherd of your sheep. Oh Lord, forgive us for wandering. Forgive us for seeking pasture elsewhere. Would you draw us back into Christ's presence even now? Remind us of the contentment and the joy that could be found and found only in Christ our shepherd. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.